This message, entitled, Who Do You Say That I Am? From Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 30, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com.
If you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn with me once again to the Gospel of Mark this morning, the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. It can be found on page 1073, if you're using the Pew Bible, 1073. Mark chapter 8. We'll read this morning verses 27 through 30. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. Let's bow in one more word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, your word tells us that no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. And so this morning it is our great desire to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power, that we all might, by word, confess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord over all. Father, we ask that you would reveal these things to us this morning, that you would give us that knowledge that flesh and blood cannot, that you will make Jesus Christ supremely glorious in our eyes, and that we would see him for who he is. Lord, our desire this morning is not that you would deafen ears or blind eyes, but that you would open ears and open eyes, that we might behold the wonderful things that are said of Jesus in the gospel. Grant it to us, we pray, for his sake and for his glory. Amen. Well, I want to begin this morning with really a very simple question. I want to ask you a question, and I hope that as we go on this morning, it is a question that you will give serious attention to. It is the same question that Jesus asked his disciples in these verses that we have just read. Who do you say that I am? I want you to think about that question and think that if you were one of these disciples on the way with Jesus, how it is that you would have phrased your answer if asked by him, "Who do you say that I am?" And I aim very simply this morning to gently push you to honestly and very honestly answer that question. Who do you think Jesus is? And we're going to look at that question in two perspectives this morning. The first is going to be that I want to preach a little bit about the character of that question. And the second thing that I want to do this morning is to look at that question in light of the claims that Jesus made of himself. And so the first thing that I want to preach this morning is something of the character of this question. Who do you say that I am? There are several things that I want you to note about this question. And the first characteristic is simply this: the importance of that question. That question may not be one that immediately you think is very important, but it is. We don't know at this point in the Gospel of Mark how long it is that the disciples had been with Jesus. We know that a few chapters ago he had called them, that they began to follow him. Likely, if we play out Mark chronologically, it's been at least several months since these disciples began to follow Jesus. And at most, it has been probably almost a year since they first joined him. And if you're at all familiar with the Gospels, if you're familiar with what the interaction between Jesus and these disciples was in these days, you might know that as they joined Jesus and as they began to follow him, they began to hear and see some marvelous things. Just in the very opening chapters of the Gospel of Mark, in these first 8 chapters, we begin to get a picture of what these disciples experienced. We're told that they were with Jesus when he began to preach and teach in the synagogues. When people began to marvel at the words that Jesus spoke, recognizing that he spoke as no man had ever spoken before. And these disciples had a front row seat to the teaching and the preaching of Jesus. But it wasn't just the things that they heard. These disciples also saw marvelous things. They saw Jesus heal the sick and the diseased. They watched as he cured the blind, as he gave hearing to the deaf, and as he caused the lame to walk again. The disciples were with him as he cast out spirits and demons. They were with him as he calmed the storms and commanded the waves. They were with him when he walked on the water. They were with him when he fed the multitudes with scarce and scant provisions. They were with him when he raised the dead. These disciples had seen and heard marvelous things. And if you put yourself in their shoes for just a moment, it's probably not unrealistic speculation to think that as they heard these things, as they saw these things, there were probably 100 or even 1,000 questions that were brewing in their minds about those things that they had seen and heard. How is it that this man can command the winds? How is it that this man can walk into the room of a dead person and speak life to them? How is it that this one can multiply 5 loaves of bread to feed over 5,000 people? How on earth does he do that? There were probably questions that were brewing in their minds about everything that they had seen and heard. But I want to draw your attention to the one important question. Because here in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 8, verse 29, really comes a defining moment for these disciples. That whatever other questions they have, whatever other answers they might be seeking, here is the fundamental one. Here is the most important question of all. Who do you say that I am? And it is the most important because everything else that they saw and everything else that they heard, all the miracles they witnessed, were simply intended to demonstrate to them who Jesus Christ really was. And so in Mark chapter 8, verse 39, when Jesus asks this question, it's the most important question that he could ask them. He doesn't want to know, what do you think about my ability to multiply bread? He doesn't ask them, what do you think about my power to raise the dead? But he asks this simple question, who do you say that I am? And I raise that this morning because I want you to know that that's at the center of all of this. That question, in a very real sense, is at the center of the Gospel of Mark. That question is at the center of all of Scripture and of all the Bible. that question is at the center of all of Christianity. Who is Jesus? Perhaps you've come this morning and you have other questions in your mind. Questions that are important and questions that are good. Questions like, how can God be good when I see so much evil in the world? Questions like, how can I reconcile science and the claims of Scripture? Questions like, how old is the earth? How was it created? Questions about, can a loving God really send people to hell? Questions about other religions. Questions about those people who have never had a chance to hear of Jesus Christ in the gospel, and where is it that they will end up? You probably, perhaps, came here this morning with all kinds of questions, but I want to redirect you slightly that the most important question you can ask, and the most important question that you can seek an answer to, is simply this: who do you say that I am? Because until you understand who Jesus is, you will never find a satisfactory answer to any other question. That it's here that Christianity stands or falls. The question Jesus asks, who do you say that I am, is the most important of them all. But the second characteristic of this question, not only is it important, but I want you to see this morning the individual character of it. Remember when I was in college, I majored in philosophy. Some of you know that. And some of you might wonder, well, what on earth does a philosophy major do? And it's a very good question, and the answer is not much. But in philosophy, one of the things that they do is they teach you, supposedly, to think. How to ask questions, how to wrestle for answers, how to analyze, how to argue, how to pick apart, or rather, how to nitpick every little thing. And I remember when I was taking a particular ethics course, we came to the end of the semester and we had our final test. And my professor handed the test out, and on top of the sheet of paper that she gave us was one simple question that had a threefold perspective. And the instructions were very simple. They were very plain. They were very clear. And they read this: what do you think of, and I don't want you to get too lost in the names, but just as an example, what do you think of John Stuart Mill's utilitarianism? What do you think of Immanuel Kant's categorical imperative? And what do you think of René Descartes' deontological ethics? I don't want you to get lost in the names and in the big words. I want to point out that as she handed this out, there was one word on that question that was italicized and stuck out more than any of the other ones. And it was the word you. What do you think about X, Y, and Z? And the point of the exam was this: that we had spent the semester reading these philosophers and these philosophies, dissecting their arguments and examining their perspectives. And here at this final test, the only thing our professor cared about was what our thoughts were regarding them. And that really was the deciding factor of whether you passed the test or if you failed. She wasn't looking for us to parrot back what others said. If you did that, she scribbled in the margin with her red pen, "No! I know what so-and-so thinks. I want to know what you think." She was after our own thoughts. And if I can use that as an illustration, in many ways, that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. You'll notice a slight difference in the two questions he asks. In the first question, in verse 27, he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples begin to say, well, people say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah. Still others say that you're a prophet. And then in verse 29, we read, and he asked them, But who do you say that I am? Jesus was not satisfied with vague generalities. Jesus didn't care so much in this moment what others thought of him. He was very concerned with what his disciples thought of him, of what his disciples believed him to be. It's a very personal and very individual question. And I bring it to your attention this morning because I want to remind you that this is still what matters. That for you personally, if I can put it in these words, it doesn't matter so much what your parents think of Jesus. Jesus wants to know what you think of him. It doesn't matter what your grandparents think or thought about Jesus. It doesn't matter so much what your spouse thinks about Jesus. It doesn't matter what your church thinks about Jesus. It doesn't matter so much what your pastor or your friends or the books that you read or the History Channel or society or opinion polls. Jesus' interest here in this question is not simply, what do others say about me? But he wants to know from each of them, what do you say about me? Who do you say that I am? His goal is very personal and it's very individual. And I put that same question to you this morning. Who do you say Jesus is? Not what did your church teach you and what answer did your church teach you? Not what do your parents tell you to say when you're asked that question, but you individually and personally, who do you say that Jesus is? Because at the end of the day, that's what matters and that's what counts, is how you believe Jesus and who you believe him to be. So that's the second characteristic of this question. The third characteristic of this question is this, that there is inescapably only two possible answers you can give to that question. Who do you say that I am? There are inescapably only two answers you can give to that question. And you might be sitting there thinking that I obviously don't know how to read. Because in verse 28, when Jesus says, what do others say of me? You'll see that there's three answers given. Well, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say you're one of the prophets. So how can I stand here and say, well, there's actually only two answers that you can give to that? Well, in one sense, there are all kinds of opinions that people have about Jesus. Even today, people might regard him as being a good teacher, or as being a prophet, or as being a good role model and a good example. Sometimes you hear of people saying, well, Jesus was a revolutionary. Other times, people say, well, Jesus was a fraud and he was dishonest. Still others say he was nothing but a figment of people's imaginations. There seem, in one sense, to be all kinds of answers that you can give to that question, but I want to say that inescapably it really comes down to one of two answers. Because all of the different opinions that people have about Jesus, they agree on one thing, and their agreement is this, that they disagree with what Jesus has said about himself. There are only two answers that you can give to this question, who do you say that I am? You either agree with what Jesus has said about himself, or you disagree with what Jesus has said about himself. And that's not being unnecessarily reductionistic. There are only two ways. I want you to make no mistake this morning that Jesus didn't hide who he was. Jesus didn't, in that sense, leave it for us simply to our own interpretation to try to figure out this puzzle and this mystery of who he was. He didn't speak of himself in ambiguous terms. But he spoke very plainly of who he was, and the inescapable reality is you either agree with who Jesus says he is, or at the end of the day, you disagree with who Jesus says he is. Those are the only two inescapable answers that you can give to this question. You can either say with the crowds, he's John the Baptist, or he's Elijah, or he's some prophet, or good teacher. Or you can confess with the Apostle Peter, you are the Christ. And so that's to say something of the character of this question. It's an important question. It is the most important question. It's a question that is put to us individually and personally, and it is a question that inescapably has only one of two answers. But I don't want to stop this morning in simply speaking about the question. Rather, as I've already said, I want to gently push you to answer this question and to answer it honestly. And so I want to take time this morning to preach the claims of Christ. What did Christ claim about himself? And what really is Peter saying when in verse 29 he says, you are the Christ? What did Jesus teach about himself? Well, by appearances, he probably looked like any other Galilean. He looked like you or I. He was a real man with a body and with a soul. But he was one who made some shocking and some astounding and bold claims. And the question before us this morning as we look at those is, who do you say that he is? Do you agree with those claims or do you disagree with them? In the first place, Jesus claimed to be God. In one particular account in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, Jesus is casting a demon out, and the people around him conclude that he must be a demon. And Jesus says something very interesting. He says, you know, if you were truly of your father Abraham, you would know who I am, for Abraham spoke of me. And the people around him, these angry Jews, begin to ask him, oh, are you claiming to be greater than Abraham? Are you claiming to be greater than the patriarch of the faith? And Jesus says this in John chapter 8, verse 58. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And if you know the language of Scripture, you know that what Jesus was saying there was immensely significant. In Exodus chapter 3, when God came to Moses in the burning bush and gave him the charge to go to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, Moses asks God, what? When they ask, who should I say has sent me? And God, in a marvelous self-revelation, says, tell them, I am, has sent you. And Jesus takes that name, he takes those words. And in John 8:58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is making the astounding claim in that verse that he is God. That he is Jehovah, that he is the covenant Lord, the one who has been and who will be for all eternity. Jesus is claiming to be God. And in John chapter 10, verses 30 and 33, Jesus says in many ways the same thing. He says, I and the Father are one. And the people pick up stones and they want to stone him. And they say, because you blaspheme God and you make yourself God. Don't be mistaken this morning, friends. Jesus was not ambiguous on this point. He made the stunning and shocking claim that though a man, he was God. And the question put before you this morning is, who do you say that he is? Is he who he claims to be? But Jesus also claimed to be one who came down from heaven. In John chapter 6, he says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever feeds on me will live forever." What a shocking claim. And the question before you this morning is, who do you say that he is? Do you agree with that? Or do you disagree with that? Jesus claimed to be one who came to give his life for sin. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says, "The Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve." And then he says this, that the Son of Man has come to give my life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a payment to purchase back and to buy back those who are enslaved and under the ownership of sin. It is Jesus himself who is saying, that's the reason I've come. I have come to lay my life down. I have come to give my life as a ransom for many. And the question before you this morning is, who do you say that he is? Do you agree with that? Or do you disagree with it? Jesus also claimed the necessity of believing in him. In John chapter 8, verse 24, as he's speaking to the Pharisees, he says this, "I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Do you see what Jesus is emphasizing there? He is emphasizing that belief in him is necessary. That the only way to be saved from dying in sin and so dying under the condemnation of God is to believe in him. That's a claim that Jesus himself made. Unless you believe in me, he says, you will die in your sins. And the question before you this morning is, who do you say that he is? Do you agree with that? Or do you disagree with that? But Jesus not only claimed those things, Jesus also claimed to be the one who would determine everyone's final destination. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 32, Jesus says this, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And to the sheep he will say, 'Come, blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you.' And to the goats he will say, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" That's a claim that Jesus has made. That when he comes again, he will come as the one who judges all nations. And he is the one who will make the dividing line. And he is the one who will separate the sheep from the goats, the blessed from the cursed. He is the one who will come and determine those things. And the question before you this morning, friends, is, who do you say that he is? Do you agree with that? Or do you hear that claim and say, "No, Jesus, you're wrong"? Jesus claimed to be the source of everlasting life. In John chapter 10, verse 7, he says, "Truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep." And in verses 9 through 10 of John 10, "I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I have come to give life and to give life abundantly." He is the source of life itself. Jesus is saying that's the very reason that I've come. And the question before you this morning is, who do you say that he is? Do you agree that he is the source of life? Or do you disagree? Jesus claimed to be the only way to God. John chapter 14, verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And in saying that, Jesus is being very exclusive. Allah is not the way to God. Buddha is not the way to God. Science is not the way to God. Jesus is saying exclusively, "I am the way. No man can come to the Father unless he comes to the Father through me. There is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved." And the question before you this morning is, who do you say that he is? Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that? Do you say, yes, Jesus alone is the way to the Father? Or do you say, no, Jesus, you're wrong and there are other ways? Jesus claimed that whoever received him would have eternal life. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life." Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus claimed to have power to raise the dead. In John chapter 6, verse 40, he says, "For everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Who do you say that he is? Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that? Jesus claimed that he had the power to raise himself from the dead. John chapter 10, verse 18, "I laid down my life that I may take it up again. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up." And the question before you again, who do you say that he is? Is he the one who has life within himself and the power to resurrect not only the dead, but himself from the dead? And Jesus claimed to have all power and authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All of it. All authority, all power, whether it's on earth or in heaven, has been given to Jesus Christ. That is the claim that he made. And brothers and sisters, dear friends, here is the question before you this morning. Who do you say that he is? Do you agree with that? Or do you, at the end of the day, disagree with all of these claims of Jesus? You see, the claims that Christ made of himself, they are shocking and they're bold and they're really quite stunning and astonishing. If you can sum it all up in a sentence or two, here's the claim of Jesus: that as God, he became man. And he became man for sinners, that he might come and give life and peace and happiness through his death and his resurrection through faith in him. And at the end of the day, each of us is put to the question, who do you say that he is? Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that? Do you look at that and say, yes, You are the Christ. You are the promised one. You are the resurrection and the life. You are salvation from sin. You are life and peace and happiness. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Do you say that? Or do you answer as so many throughout history and throughout all of the world have said? Do you answer by saying no? Whatever Jesus claimed of himself, he is not. I do not agree with him. I disagree with him. Friends, who do you say that Jesus is? Is he the Christ? Or is he a fraud and a liar and a con man? And I don't use this word lightly, but was he a lunatic who was completely out of his mind in the things that he claimed? The claims of Christ. He claimed to be God. He claimed to come down from heaven. He claimed to give his life for sinners. He claimed the necessity to believe in him for salvation. He claimed to be the one who will determine everyone's final destination. He claimed to be the source of everlasting life. He claimed to be the only way to God. He claimed that anybody who received him would have eternal life. He claimed to have the power to raise the dead and to raise himself from the grave. He claimed to have all power and all authority. Friends, who do you say that Jesus is? Because he is either what he claimed to be, or he is not. There is no other possible answer. And my prayer this morning is that you would be taught by the Father to take Jesus Christ as he is presented and as he is offered in the gospel, to take him not merely as a teacher, to take him not merely as a prophet, to take him not merely as a good example. Because if that's all the further you're going to go, if that's all the further you'll regard Jesus Christ, then friend, you regard him as nothing. But to take him as he claimed himself to be, the Savior of sinners, and the one alone in whom there is hope of salvation. My prayer is that the Father would teach you that. And that if you are not yet there, my prayer is that you would pray, Lord, reveal your Son to me, and by your Holy Spirit enable me to know Jesus as he is revealed in the Scriptures, to know him as he presented himself so clearly and so plainly without argument. Lord, let me take him as he is. Who do you say he is? That's the question I want to ask you. And that's the question I want you to give serious attention to. Who is Jesus Christ? And my prayer is that you would receive him as the one alone in whom there is hope of salvation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, only you can do what men cannot, and that is to teach us from above, to give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the insight of who Jesus Christ is. He has plainly revealed it, but our hearts are so hardened by sin that we are so slow to recognize him as who he is. But Lord, we are each confronted with this question this morning. Who is Jesus Christ? And there are only two possible answers. And upon that answer hinges all of eternity. And so, Lord, give us by your Spirit the faith to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And may we live in light of these great realities. And may Jesus be all in all to us. In his name we pray. Amen.